Visit.
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome in to Hit That Line, Week 11 edition. I'm your host, Zach Berry, coming to you a day tardy, as I told you on the message board. If you're a member of the Ole Miss Spirit, you saw the programming note day later than usual, but we're here. We're going to give you some winners. Before I do that, I do want to remind you, this show is brought to you each and every day by the College Corner. Three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. I'm here in Oxford right now. The College Corner is right over there. Go there, check them out. I went in there today. They got the Galaxy Realtree gear. They've got bucket hats. They got long sleeve tees. They got lightweight hoodies. They got shirts. They got everything. Hats, anything Galaxy Realtree related, you can get it there. You can also go in there. Forecast maybe looking a little damp on Saturday. You want to go get a rain jacket. College Corner's got you covered. Check them out there or at collegecornerstore.com. Podcast also brought to you by our good buddy Drew Moak in USA Benefits Group. It's Medicare enrollment season. If you're looking for a Medicare supplement plan or just a regular health insurance plan, give Drew a call, 601-953-8449, or check his website out, quoteswithdrew.com. Show also brought to you by our good buddy Greg Jones and LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, Mississippi. Now you can call ahead and you can also text ahead if you want to place an order, 662-259-2999. You've got $10 lane train specials, everything in the freezers, $2 off. Go in there, the best cuts of meat in town. As we always like to say, Arby's is full of shit. LB's has got the meats. All righty, let's bring in the Legal Gambling Council. We've got Nick, we got Ben. We've got Austin. Gentlemen, welcome to Week 11.
Can you believe it?
Sadly, still got, yes.
Still got a lot of football left.
I mean, let's hope we got a couple months worth of football left.
That's right. All right, dude, let's just get into it. No sense in beating around the bush. Let's get into it. Remind me, college football playoff ranking, so I'm not looking at AP or coaches poll. Number three, Georgia. Are they two or three?
Three. That's right.
Three.
Oh, I thought there were two.
Ohio State.
No, there were two in the AP. Yeah, it's Oregon, Ohio State, and the yeah. They just want a rematch in the Big Ten playoff 1-2.
Yeah.
I did not know that you could do that. So, but when they seed them at the end of the year, it would be – each one conference five. Champion would be 1-4, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ohio State would get dropped to 5 there in that scenario?
Yeah. And theoretically, okay. You could be like the 6th seed and be the 3rd best team in the country.
Would the G5 pick not be 5?
There's a chance that Boise could run the table and be 4.
Yeah. Okay. No, Zach, the answer to your question is they just have to be in it. They could be 12.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right, Austin. They could. They give you the 4. I mean, being the 5 seed could be like the most advantageous thing ever. You play the worst team in the playoff,
yep.
And then you get a team that might should barely have been in.
Exactly.
Yeah, they got to fix that bracket. Just make it 16 teams. Just make it 16 teams and no automatic spots.
They're gonna put it to 16. All right. All right. So number 3, Georgia. Number 16, Ole Miss, 7-2 versus 7-1. We talked about it last week. We really needed Ole Miss to take care of business in Fayetteville, set up this huge matchup now. Georgia barely escapes Jacksonville. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say if DJ Lagway doesn't get hurt, that game is far more interesting, especially because Carson Beck has had issues protecting the football. We've talked a lot this year about Georgia when we've talked about handicapping those games, not as explosive as a year ago with Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell. All those guys are gone. And a run game that's not as stout as it normally is in Athens. And Carson Beck has all of a sudden got a case of the I'm going to throw 3 fucking interceptions every game. So looking ahead to this one, I've got a lot of thoughts, but let's go ahead and just round robin this shit. Nick, what do you think? We're going to start with you because I know the cold water is going to come hard.
I feel like I should go last. No, I think we're really good. I think the defense is really good. I think that it was a bit of a get-right game last week for us offensively because we had been getting wrong for a long time. I mean, even against Oklahoma, the second half was better, certainly, but it still was only like, what did we score, 14 points in the second half, or 16 points, I guess, with the missed PAT. How did we score 16?
Yeah, we missed 14-10.
Yeah, we missed PAT. Okay. So, yeah, it was a get-right game, big time. We're not facing Arkansas, though. I mean, it's – my concern, and it will be my concern until the end of the game on Saturday, is blocking their defensive line. Not that I think that they've got the 85 Bears out there on their defensive line. I don't think that. But I haven't seen it from us blocking. In Dart last week kept the ball. I mean, he was triple pumping a few times, waiting on Watkins to get, you know, that seventh extra step on the Arkansas defensive back. He's not going to have that much time this week. I mean, he's just not. It's not going to happen. So – that worries me, and it's the same stuff that I was worried about down at LSU. Beck's the second best quarterback we faced. He's not as good as Nussmeier. Nussmeier didn't have a great game against us. He did just enough to win, and I think Beck's, you know, I fear that he'll do just enough to win. That's still a very, very talented Georgia team. What they did against Texas, that should scare anybody. Defensively, their offense was bad.
Awesome weekend.
Yeah, go ahead. Either one.
Well, I think it's without question, if Georgia plays their A-plus game, there's not a team in the country that can beat them. I mean, just let's get that out of the way. I mean, and I think their game against Texas, maybe not A-plus, but that was by far their best performance of the year, Georgia's best performance, right? And look, I think the jury is still out on whether Texas is like elite or just kind of good. Because their win against Michigan is not aged particularly well. Michigan's trash. Awful. And what's Texas's second best win this year? I couldn't even really – I'm asking. That's not rhetorical. I don't know. Like, who have they beaten?
Vandy?
Yeah, Vandy. It's got to be – Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
probably is.
Yeah, a game which they didn't cover, by the way, against Vandy. No. So, you know – I do think Georgia is really good. I do have some questions about how good Texas is. So I don't know that I can take two. I don't want that one sample to be overrepresented in, like, you know, the body of work that Georgia's put on tape this year. Having said that, I've got this similar concerns that Nick does. Our offensive line has not played exceptionally well this year. In fact, they've not even played above average in most games. Now, against Arkansas last week, they looked excellent. I don't know if that was a function of how bad Arkansas was defensively or if we figured some things out. I'm concerned that they can make life difficult for us. If Dart has time, I think he can carve up Georgia's secondary. This is not your typical Georgia secondary. This is not the secondary of last year or years prior.
No. We still didn't run the ball last week, just to add on. Yeah, with the pass blocking was better. We still didn't run the ball again, and that was, you know, we were up 40 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, look, it'd be really nice if all of our weapons were healthy and ready to go. And I think there's some doubt as to whether Trey Harris is going to be healthy. I think he's going to go, but how healthy is he? I don't know. The Jordan Watkins suddenly appearing on the injury report is really weird because it didn't feel like he got tackled last week. So I don't know how he got hurt.
He ain't hurt.
There may be some gamesmanship there. I've heard there's going to be, you know, maybe a shuffling of the deck at running back. Maybe Thomas gets a lot of carries, more than you perhaps would have expected, certainly going into the season. But
I don't think that's I don't think that's like crazy at all. I mean, Thomas was the top running back last week after Harris went down.
And it may be that I'm so – like we're so starved for a running game. Maybe I'm wish-casting this. I thought he looked good last week.
Me too.
Am I crazy?
No, he's great pass pretty good. Pro.
Yeah. So, look, I asked y'all in the group text before, and we don't have to go, like, too deep on X's and O's and all that shit. None of us are coaches. But, like, do y'all think – because I think your opinion, and I think the answer may influence or may dictate how I feel about our chances. Does Kirby use the Texas game plan and get after us, you know, aggressive, blitzing, or does he sit back in a cover two shell knowing we can't run the ball, because we can't run the ball, and just try to keep everything in front, you know, hope the rain helps him out a little bit and play sort of soft and try to win, you know, a grinder.
I think his best, I think his, the best thing, or I think what he would prefer is the latter, right? Is to sit in the two high safety base look and create pressure or havoc with four down linemen. That's not having to blitz anyone. Do I think he'll do that? I don't know. We talked about that earlier today. I don't know what they're going to do, George, on defense. I mean, it's the game is going to come down to, I agree, our offensive line given Dart time, but George is not necessarily elite at anything on defense right now. Like, numbers wise, they don't have, they rank in the 20s in pass defense. They rank in the 20s in rush defense. To put it in perspective, Ole Miss gives up one fewer yard per carry than Georgia. Georgia gives up like 3.3. Ole Miss gives up 2.2 something. Yeah. And so it's, well, it's, go ahead.
It sounds crazy. We have the better defense.
We do. Now, they have played both Alabama and Texas. Mm-hmm. And we have
not. They gave up a million to Alabama.
That's right. And now we know that Alabama, and maybe Alabama didn't know this about themselves at the time, but now we know that they're mid, right? Maybe they had been playing above their, I say mid, mid for Alabama, right? They're a good team.
Yeah.
But they
lost Vanderbilt. And that's relative. Yeah.
Even if Vanderbilt's good. So, but what we did learn was, okay, let me ask y'all a couple questions. Outside of games against Mississippi State, can you name the blowouts in league play this year? Like, do you recall big lopsided wins in SEC play that don't involve Mississippi State?
Ole Miss Arkansas.
Ole Miss Arkansas, yeah.
Kentucky,
Ole Miss,
Arkansas. South Carolina.
Who?
Kentucky, South Carolina.
Kentucky, South Carolina.
Ole Miss, South Carolina.
All right. Does one involve Georgia?
I don't think they've blown anybody out.
I mean, maybe Auburn. I don't remember how bad they beat Auburn.
I don't remember that game at all, but it wasn't a blowout.
Auburn covered what? What was it? 23, 22, something like that? Auburn covered the number.
And my point is that should tell you a lot about Georgia's offense, right? Hmm. Because they're not able to race off and leave people offensively. Now, they were great last year, and they outclassed us all over the field, and that's with Quinshon Judkins on our team. But what we did in the offseason is, and we've talked about this on the show, we replaced below-average defensive linemen with – a five-star plus player in Sontaran Perkins, the best defensive tackle in college football in Walter Nolan, the best or one of a top five defensive linemen in college football in J.J. Pegues, and an NFL defensive end in Jared Ivey, who was there last year, so you didn't really replace with him.
And an NFL guy, Prince Amamiel.
Yeah, and – oh, yeah, I'm not done. And Xavier Harris, who didn't really play last year. And, dude, he's the fridge when he comes in the game right now. I don't know how many sacks we've had over the last 2 weeks. Is it 20, 18, something like that?
Dude, we talked about this before. Imagine being the guard and thinking, all right, they're rolling out the second string this drive, and the second string is 6'7", 330, Xavier Harris. Like,
I guess we're all hesitant. I am too, sort of, because we've not won this game under Kiffin. But the thing is you got to keep knocking on the door, right? Like, eventually it happens. Like, this is 3 years in a row now that we've needed, that we're in a game that could potentially send us to either Atlanta or the playoff. Mm-hmm. In 21, that game was at Auburn, and we lost it. Corral got hurt. in 22, that game was against Alabama at home. And, you know, Ole Miss had a control of that game. Was that, 22. Last year was at Georgia, and that we know that they blew us out. And so this year, here we are again. And so I don't know where there's a – I hate to say this way because it's freaking Georgia, and everybody, they've won, like, however many straight games outside of Alabama. We've heard that all week. But I don't know the area – where are they so much better than us? We don't also match them on the other side. Like, yes, their D-line may be better than our O-line, but is there anything that suggests they run the ball on our D-line? Or that we can't get out of Beck?
I mean, that's the thing that I keep coming back to, is Georgia's not elite at running the football like it normally is.
But their back's a lot better. I mean, it's better than our back.
Backs are better, without a doubt. The Frazier kid's good. If ETN,
but we're plays, also 1 yard per carry better against the run than their front seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
I worry that they're like the demise of their offense a little bit. I mean, in SEC play, they've scored 13 against Kentucky. They scored 34, of which almost all of them in the second half against Alabama. 31, 41, 30, and 34. They still score a lot of points.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of those defenses is Mississippi State.
Yeah. And I think in the Florida game, did they have a defensive touchdown?
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, so
let's play the ever popular who they played game.
And they had some short fields on Texas, but I mean, is Dart like a lot better than Quinn Ewers? No, I mean, of course not. Quinn Ewers is very good.
I think Quinn is.
Jackson Dart is a lot better than Quinn Ewers right now.
But Dart has not made the mistakes this year that Quinn Ewers has made.
I feel like he's
and maybe that's just my being pessimistic. But it's like, he hadn't hardly thrown any interceptions. But I'm like, if you're throwing over the middle, which we've done more in the last two games, y'all would have to agree, right? We didn't do it hardly at all at the start of the season. What happens if you miss over the middle? It's picked. And he hasn't done it against Oklahoma. He didn't do it against Arkansas. It's a very bad defense. But Georgia's defense is better than Arkansas's. And again, what happens if he does that? He turns the ball over twice.
I mean, fair. We get a short field. Part of it is we didn't score 33 on Arkansas. We scored 63.
That's true. That's true. People forget that.
So
here's the thing, Nick. Everything you just said, like, to me, that applies with equal force to Georgia's offense. And Beck's the guy who's been giving it away this year, not Dart.
Yeah. And like, regression says he's going to stop, right?
8 picks in his last 3 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11 in – what is it, 11 in 5 games?
Yeah, I mean, it's
but
it's
a lot of games. Regression also says that Kiffin is going to win a big game eventually.
Okay, so
it's going to happen, and it may be this week. It may be this week. But here's one good thing about this, guys, is they won their way back into it, right? Ole Miss did, into making this week fun, because it could have been a chance.
Yeah, we gave ourselves a chance.
And it gives the fans a reason. And that's why we all do this, right? The buildup is as fun as the game. Like, kickoff.
I can't wait till 12 o'clock on Saturday.
I mean, there's no feeling like that. It feels way better that than the middle of the third quarter.
It's too much nerves. Build up, the team walks through, and then that next like 90 minutes, 60 minutes till you go to the stadium is like,
if people read our group chat,
euphoria,
we'd be cut out of our family's wills with that, with what we say in there about our team.
All right.
And the referees.
God, they deserve it though.
Real quick, though, Ben, you mentioned Lane Kiffin has not won the big game. Let's put an asterisk on that. Yeah. Lane Kiffin has not won the big game against Alabama or Georgia.
Right.
Lane Kiffin's won big games against other SEC programs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not. But like Franklin at Penn State, that's the big game.
Though. That's a big game. I mean?
I'm saying like Franklin at Penn State hasn't beat Ohio State. He hasn't won the big game.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the Peach Bowl.
No, that was a nice game. That was a nice, but I'm saying we hadn't won the big game.
Nick, you've agreed with us in the past that people move the goalposts. Like, when Ole Miss becomes the new Auburn or Florida, and we are the third best team in the league, fourth best team in the league, there aren't other best teams to beat except the two powerhouse programs in the entire fucking country. Like, and nobody beats Georgia. Nobody.
Nobody outside of Alabama has beat them
outside of Alabama.
40 games.
Right. We've been the new Auburn or Florida for like 5 years now, and nobody, but it's changing some. Like, I, I'll talk to people at work and stuff from other parts of the country. They're like, man, like y'all's football teams, did you go to Ole Miss? Like, that's a big time program. They wouldn't have said that 10 years ago. That wouldn't have been.
I'll concede to Nick's point. Like, we should have beaten Bama in 22. Like, we should have. We had them on the ropes. We choked it. We pissed on our legs. Yeah. Like, whatever. But even that Bama team and that Ole Miss team, the disparity in talent between those two rosters was monumental. We had like four players on that 22 Ole Miss team, man.
And Jackson Dart was like 20, 12.
Yeah. And Bama had what, 30 pros on that team?
Like, yeah. I mean, that game is a win for Ole Miss if Zach Evans isn't concussed.
Exactly. Because the targeting is called. Yeah.
Right. The last drive, Quinshon was just completely gassed and they had to throw it four times.
I'll tell y'all this, man. Other than the logo on the helmet, I don't see a number here that jumps out at me. It's like, man, that's just a bad matchup. I can't find it.
Dude, so, all right. So let's get into it. So this game, in my opinion, sets up incredibly good for Ole Miss. And the main factor in this is because Ole Miss has a legitimate, bona fide, probably the best in the country defense. The front seven is the best in the country, creating pressure, number one in havoc rate, number one in sacks, dominate tackles for loss. It's
you know how many we've had this year, tackles for loss? You know how many we've got?
I don't know.
I can't even imagine. 100?
94.
Oh, I thought it'd be about 100. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. In eight games.
So gobbling it up. And then
that's three a quarter, by the way.
Yeah. So like over the years with Kiffin or whoever, over the last decade, it's always been, man, Ole Miss, like they're fun. They score a lot of points, but like, man, you gotta score. And then you look up and it's like, okay, we have 44. Like, let's hope that the other team has 42. It's not like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Looking at Carson Beck, we talked about the picks. Let me tell you some numbers here. When Carson Beck has been pressured this year, his passing efficiency is 81.1. If you're not familiar with passing efficiency numbers, 81.1 is dog shit. Completion rate against pressure, 36.2. He's averaging 4.9 yards per attempt. He has an 8.5% interception rate. That is awful. Guess who is top five in the country in pressure rate? That would be Ole Miss. So I know it's Georgia, it's the fucking boogeyman and all that shit, and Kirby is going to tell the team in the locker room that no one believes in him. He's going to do all his hokey-ass shit. But, like, I think that this is a game that sets up perfectly for Ole Miss, where we talked about this week. Maybe it took this long for everybody to gel or mesh or whatever. I think it's probably that. It's probably injuries, probably some feet to the fire. We got to get our shit together. This game is perfect for Ole Miss. It's at home. It's a meaningful game in November where I think psychologically Ole Miss is, hey, it's this or nothing. And then Georgia, whether they admit it or not, subconsciously, they know, all right, we could probably manage to lose another one. That is always going to be lingering up here. So there is not as much emphasis on this game for Georgia, whether they admit it or not. But this game, I think, is going to come down to the front seven. And we ran through the credentials of the defensive line. We haven't even talked about Poo Paul, who is probably the best linebacker in the SEC. TJ Dottery, who is just an absolute problem.
He's all SEC player, too.
Suntarian Perkins, all Suntarian SEC.
Perkins somehow is still not getting the credit he deserves. That kid is playing his ass off.
Is he not leading the conference in sacks?
He is.
But nobody but Ole Miss fans know that. Like nobody else can even name the kid. He's a monster.
I think this game, I'm gonna put it out
there. It could put a lot of players on the map.
I'm just gonna do it. I think Ole Miss wins this football game on the back of the defense, and then Jackson Dart continuing to be efficient, taking care of the football, and taking the big plays when he can get them. I think he's going to be more of a factor in the run game. We've seen Daquan Wright over the last couple of weeks being more of a factor. I think that's going to force Georgia. They can't sit back because you're going to have Daquan Wright and Caden Lee and whoever running around. They're going to have to choose if they want to bring pressure, if they want to man up. I'm sorry, Georgia's players are very good. That's a lot of dudes you got to man up. And I think that one of them is going to get open. Kiffin's going to scheme them open. Trey Harris is playing. I've been told that he is going to play. I told that he is keen on proving himself against Georgia for NFL stock purposes. That game last year, he got shut down. I think it still pisses him off. And you got to remember, too, Kiffin and Pete Golding are very familiar with Kirby and how he operates. Pete Golding knows what that defense is going to look like. Kiffin knows how he calls games. That's important. And I don't know. It just kind of feels like a perfect storm. I think that with the defense being so damn good, it just really gives Ole Miss a leg up in this one. And I think it's a great matchup across the board.
I thought I was going to have a lot of pushback when I said I thought we'd win. I think Ole Miss wins and covers. Oh, well, obviously you get 2.5. I think Ole Miss wins straight up. I don't – this has the chance, and I've told y'all this, not to state like in referendums, it has a chance to be similar to what South Carolina did to A&M last Saturday.
Could be.
I'm serious. I can't – and that's not me saying – I'm not wish-casting it. I'm looking at the – it doesn't – this doesn't make sense. That's why the line is 2.5. That's why it's not 8.5 or 9.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, look, the line right now is telling the story. I mean, the line has not – we talked about this in the group – that has not moved, man. Like, it has not moved.
You have to take action. You can't tell me that money's not heavy on Georgia. And that's what the line was last week in Carolina, wasn't it? And we said we thought Carolina was the better team than A&M. And they went out and proved it. And I think the line was like 2.5 or 3.
Cha-ching.
I mean,
so I think my best case scenario for us, let's say realistic best case scenario. I mean, best case scenario is, you know, we like 63, whatever, but that's not going to happen, I don't think. So realistic, I think it's going to be a sweat, but I think it could play out like 2014 Bama.
Yeah.
Where it could. We had the superior defensive line in that game. People didn't know it at that point in the season. People didn't realize that our dudes were better than Bama's dudes. But we just whipped Bama's ass that day. Just whipped their ass physically. I mean, not on the scoreboard.
That was a game when the guy wearing the number 5 jersey for Ole Miss decided, I'm the baddest motherfucker out here.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. In order for it to play out that way, we need the new guy on that side of the ball at that position to have a similar type of game where he just disrupts every fucking play.
Well, and like Ben routed off, it's Walter Nolan, it's Princely Mommy Ellen, it's J.J. Pegues, it's Jared Ivey, it's the linebackers. It's not just one dude. So, like, you can't just keep on Walter Nolan.
I think it's hard for people to – imagine that you can go from what the game was last year, the 52-17 or whatever, I don't even remember the score, to this year, because in the historical way of doing this is it takes like 3 years to build up the classes and stack the talent to be able to play with this same team. But now, like we talked about earlier, not to relitigate it, you replace guys who either graduated. And let's be honest, he was a great player, plays in the NFL, Cedric Johnson. I mean, he ain't coming off that edge Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's no offense to Ced, but, I mean, now it's guys who are a lot faster than he is and a lot more disruptive than he was. I mean, he was a good 3-4 end, but it's not like – I mean, Suntaren Perkins is essentially Harold Perkins, and nobody even knows that. And Umami Allen is going to be like a top 2-rounder in the NFL. And those guys, it's just – there's just a lot of havoc over there. If I was George, I'd be nervous. And here's another thing. Let's talk about them. Okay. They don't have Brock Bowers anymore. They don't have McConkey anymore. They don't have – like, these are the guys that blew us up last year. If y'all – I mean, McConkey embarrassed us on defense last year. We didn't have a lockdown. Right now, we have a guy we can put on an island, right? Georgia's – He can cover their best guy.
And they don't have a good receiver.
No, they don't. Not like what they had last year. Not like that.
Name the leading receiver at Georgia.
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't. Would it have been Ra-Ra Thomas had he
I'm on their stats.
Is it Bell?
It's Arian Smith.
Okay. Is Bell right there next to him?
Bell is placed third. Hines he's 29 guys behind, 29 yards behind Dominic Lovett.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, they got Lovett.
He hasn't done anything this year, though, has he?
But you're not able to be like, oh, AD Mitchell. Oh, Brock Bowers. Oh, Ladd McConkey. Like, dude, I was at that game. Ladd McConkey made the Ole Miss secondary look like fucking fools.
Yeah.
But he's killing in the NFL right now, too.
Yeah.
He's not a bum. Like, he's good. Yeah. But, like, Georgia doesn't have that anymore. So, like, that's my thing is, like, that's part of the reason why Brock Bowers has had the deer in the headlights look this year, because it was always like.
You mean the quarterback?
Carson Beck.
Brock Bowers.
Oh, sorry. Well, yeah, Carson Beck. But last year it was like, oh, where's 19? Oh, there he is. I'm throwing it. He doesn't have that anymore. He doesn't have that. Like, I know Oscar Delp is whatever. He's a solid SEC tight end, but he's not Brock Bowers. So,
no.
I don't know. I know everybody's
kind of like replacing Evan Engram. I mean, like,
yeah,
that's just hard to do when you've got a guy who can run a 4.5 or faster at tight end. You're not going to find that guy again.
Yeah, I said 27-23 Ole Miss. Yeah, could be a bit.
I'm going 33-19.
Okay, who's to say that Ole Miss doesn't jump out quick, and then you force Carson Beck to have to throw it, and he throws a pick or two.
All right, that's a disaster for Georgia.
Let me ask you that, you guys, this. All right, last week, I mean, great, we won by 32 points. I'm not discrediting that. What I am saying is that, like, I don't think Watkins did anything other than just like run really fast past them, right? Which is great. And if you can do that every game, you go 12-0. That'd be great. Let's assume that he can't do that, right? He hasn't gotten open a ton this year. We've talked all season long about it. Man, where's Watkins at? Where are the tight ends at? It's obvious. Had they been running wide open on every play, we would have found them more often, right? So let's say that Watkins goes back to, well, let's say he reverts back to what he was before the Arkansas game because he's playing guys that should be in the SEC. Let's say that Harris is still a step slow. I worry about points. How are we getting them? We still can't run the ball, and I don't think that's going to change Saturday. Perhaps the having Thomas in there at running back gives Dart enough time to find the open guy. I just worry about, like, what if we're still not getting those guys open? Because this is not a discrediting Jordan Watkins. Last week's numbers were insane. But, like, it's hard to do that against anybody with SEC. It's obvious that the guy defending him for Arkansas was not hardly in the division on caliber.
Let's pause. I can't remember what you said about the Arkansas game last year, but I think you picked Arkansas to win. I'm not
– Last year?
Last week. Against us. I can't remember.
I think I did too. I did not realize they quit.
No, let's keep going, because they had great SEC players before last week. Hang on. Let's talk about
their defense. They did not have great SEC players.
I'm not saying that Jordan Watkins don't run past. That game has any impact. I think this league is just a game of individual matchups now, and that's why I'm taking Ole Miss, because I think it's a good matchup for Ole Miss. Now, hang on, but let me stay on Arkansas right quick. They gave up
four pick sixes.
That Georgia is either.
That's fair.
Auburn scored 14 on them. A&M scored 21 on them. Tennessee scored 14 on them. LSU scored 34, and we scored 63. The other game, they beat Mississippi State 58-25. So, like, it's not as if Arkansas has been rolling out a bunch of 35-point defensive performances. Like, we put 63 up on a team that held Tennessee to 14.
But I mean, we talked about this last week with Kentucky. Teams change, right? The Kentucky team that we faced was a lot better than the Kentucky team now. That Arkansas team that played Tennessee earlier in the year, significantly different than the one we faced.
Just like Arkansas faced. You're right. You're right. Like Kentucky, like Georgia, Alabama. I hear what you're saying. I don't think – you're not giving us enough credit, I don't think, for that Arkansas game, because that was a complete beatdown. And even if you take the long Jordan Watkins plays out, when is Arkansas going to score? Like, they scored 31, but that was after we went up 35-10. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're right.
kept extending. They were never going to threaten that game.
That entire second half was garbage time.
It was garbage.
Yeah. Didn't we score for our first out of the half? Was it 42-10?
I think so.
42-10.
I don't think they ever got back within 25.
And let me tell you this.
It was literally garbage time after that drive. It was the game was over. Like
the last time Georgia came to Oxford, if you remember, was that 45-14 final? Is that it?
It was what, 35-0 to 35-3 at the half, something like that.
I think it was 38-0 at one point in early third quarter. And that Ole Miss team was not nearly as good as this one. Now, that Georgia team wasn't either, but they were still pretty good. They had, like, if I remember, Sony Michel, Ty Gurley.
They
were good. I mean,
is that Eason, that quarterback?
Yeah.
Jacob Eason. Yeah. And I think, Derek Jones had a pick six?
Yeah.
If y'all remember. And Chad Kelly got targeted on like a 50-yard touchdown pass to Lodge. Yeah,
they didn't call it. Literally one of the worst nine calls I've ever seen. Like, it's absolutely rocking. It takes like four steps. Chad,
anybody else would have had to leave the game, but Chad was so crazy. It didn't even affect him.
The Flagship is brought to you each and every day by our good friends at LB's Meat Market. Located at 2008 University Avenue, Suite E in Oxford, Mississippi, they have the best meat in town. You need to grill out. You need to do something inside. You need to throw something in the oven. You need to put something in the crock pot. LB's Meat Market has got you covered. $10 lane train specials are still the thing every single day. And you get $2 off anything in the freezer. And now, for the first time, you can text LB's if you want to place an order for pickup. That's 662-259-2999. Give Greg and the folks a call if you have any questions, or shoot them a text if you want to go ahead and place that order for pickup. Football, baseball, basketball, LB's has got you covered. Look, we all know that Arby's, they say a lot of things, but deep down, we all know LB's has got the meats.
What are the most frequently asked questions about real estate, and how do you sort it all out? Just like every other situation, you consult with a professional in the field. Stacy and Rick Berry with the Berry Home Team and Keller Williams Realty can help you make sense of it all. From interest rates, when to buy, should you wait, what type of loan is best for you, what do all of these new real estate rules even mean, and how will it affect you? As top producers in the Memphis and metro area, Stacy and Rick will be by your side through the process, whether you were buying, selling, or investing. Give them a call today and ask all the questions. 901-481-6420. That's the Berry Home Team. Keller Williams Realty.
Spark something uncommon this holiday season with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, folks, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They scour the globe, does Uncommon Goods, for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Just a few of the favorite gifts I've found on Uncommon Goods include a do-it-yourself storybook kit for my niece. My daughter's got me the MLB Sunday Slugger Ceramic Ice Cream Bowl set. Love my Braves. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits from everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans like us, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. It is the season of giving, after all. So get 15% off your next gift by going to uncommongoods.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. That's uncommongoods.com/TOC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. Honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code Talk of Champions to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code Talk of Champions. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In honor of the big one this weekend on Netflix, as Mike Tyson used to say, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. I think that's going to be Georgia this weekend. I think when that front seven gets after him, all bets are off. I think that's Georgia's offensive line has been kind of up and down this year. They're not as dominant as it's been over the years. And I just also think Ole Miss's defensive line is just that good where it doesn't really matter. I mean, LSU's offensive line is really good and Ole Miss got 21 pressures. I know no sacks. We all know that. Whatever. 21 pressures is absurd in one game. So, and Carson Beck is not nearly as elusive or fleet of foot as Garrett Nussmeier. So
they also don't have Kyron Lacy or Mason Taylor, and not to spin zone this anymore, because there's a world where Georgia wins the game, right? Like they're the favorite. And the only thing that would surprise me if they came over and beat us like 28-3, that would just like, that'd be very deflating. I don't know that I could, that
be
I would
hard,
be in a
bad hard to stomach.
It would require turnovers, punt returns. I don't.
Yeah, if you tell me we go four interceptions, I could see it. But
right,
Dart's thrown three this year. Like one thing about Kiffin quarterbacks, I'm knocking on wood right now, but is we've taken care of the ball in virtually every game we've had under Kiffin, other than Arkansas with Matt Corral, and what was that, 2020?
Yeah.
2020. Was it 2020?
I don't think it was
20. It was 20. It was 21.
Yeah, we beat him in 21 here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Six interceptions in 20.
Oh, because 21 was the KJ Jefferson, Matt Krog.
Yeah.
Well,
Nick, you asked how we would score. And I jokingly said four pick sixes. But seriously, I think we may score because we have short fields. I think we shut them down. We get a couple turnovers. Suddenly we're in plus territory. And you're not asking our offense to drive 75 plus yards. We're like on their 30 with the ball because we picked back off or, you know, stuffed them on a fourth and short at their own 40 or whatever. I just think our defense is going to set us up well.
And
I want to put a suggestion in the suggestion box that we take points this week. And like if you get down there to the 25 or whatever, kick the field goal, man. Kick the field goal.
Especially with the defense.
Yeah.
I will say, Nick, I know you're kind of being funny about Watkins last week. He was running actual routes. And
But
they schemed up Arkansas. They had some double moves. They were picking their spots to take deep shots. I mean, I think that's going to happen this week. Georgia's going to be better in the secondary than Arkansas, no question. But
they're not great at it, though.
They're not. But, like, I think Kiffin's going to be good about picking his spots. You know he's going to do some 4D chess shit. He's going to set up some stuff. I think they're going
to. To your point, Zach, we keep talking about Watkins as well we should. Five touchdowns, incredible game, record-breaking game. But, like, Caden Lee had over 100 yards receiving. Daquan Wright had two touchdowns and almost went for 100 himself too, right? Like,
99 yards.
It wasn't just Jordan Watkins.
Yeah.
Like, we schemed up that game.
And that was without Trey Harris.
Yeah. So, look, I know that Georgia is not Arkansas. I'm not saying that. But I'm also just saying it wasn't like the corner, like, slipped and fell every time we were throwing the ball. Like, we schemed some shit open.
I think it's I think it's one of the most impressive wins in the history, in our history under Kiffin. Like, I think the way that we beat them going on the road, and that's why when you listen to these other podcasts and national guys who are always questioning whether or not we're actually good, like their reaction, I was like, whoa, like that was it's kind of an eye opener for people. It's like, wait, maybe they actually are for real.
All right.
24-23 Rebs.
What's the total in this game?
It's like 54,
53 and a half.
How is it going over?
Ole Miss.
That's why I said 33-19. That's right on it. 52.
I want to lock in Georgia team total under 27 and a half. If I can still get 27 and a half.
That's gutsy, because if you're wrong, we lose. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's, yeah. I'm betting on our defense, Nick. I'm betting on our defense.
Soft.
Under 27 and a half, is that what you said?
Yeah.
So I don't know that I've ever won an Ole Miss lock. Let me look at the sheet.
They think it's going to be 28, 25.
Are you locked? Yeah. Are you putting these in, Nick?
Yeah, I will. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I got 27-23 Ole Miss. I think the defense is as advertised, and I think you get enough sacks, you get to Beck enough. He either throws some picks or he just can't convert on third downs. I think Jackson Dart, maybe it's not just a bona fide, capital H Heisman moment, but I think he's going to make enough plays, and I think the crowd's going to be in it. And I think Kiffin finally gets it done, beats one of the two boogeymen in the SEC. I think it matches up well for Ole Miss across all three phases, and it just kind of everything all lines up.
And look, if y'all are all listening to this, you're obviously Ole Miss fans and stuff. Like, don't let the rain keep you away from the game. Come to the game. We need you. Come to the game.
I watched UGA Tennessee a couple years ago. I think it was 1-2. It could have been 1-3. It doesn't matter. It was in Athens, and the game poured the whole game basically, and it was as loud as they said the stadium's pretty much ever been. Because people were just like, I'm not trying to be like they weren't on their phones, but like they weren't on their phones. People were just there for the football game. And like you just leave the game and then you change clothes. It's not that big a deal. If you get wet for 3 hours, you're wet for 3 hours, like whatever.
It's not gonna be 45 degrees. Like
it's gonna be like 72. Just bring some clothes. If you're driving home, bring some clothes, leave them in the trunk, and change the gas station. Like,
bro, I would much rather watch it in the rain than like 99 degrees on Labor Day.
Oh my gosh!
I'm not buying that rain affects it at all. The ball's going to be dry. We'll have 50 footballs before let us play with a wet ball.
Like, the only time it affects it is just like a driving. I would rather play in a rain than what we did last time we played Georgia and Oxford.
Oh.
That 11 o'clock kick, 2016
was about as hot as it's ever been. Only thing about playing with a wet football is, or with a football like that, is like when you go tempo, it kind of slows you down because they got to change the ball out from the sideline. I'll give my final thoughts on this. The line stinks. Everything about college football would tell you that Georgia should lay like 7.5 or 8.5 here, just looking at the programs, maybe more than that, 10.5, something like that. Was Georgia, Texas was favored by like 5 against them, right? Which is kind of telling that maybe Georgia punched above their actual abilities in that game. And it's possible because they kept getting short fields. We could call that Georgia's front seven. We could call that Quinn Ewers puking on the field. Like, he played on it. Let's be honest. I don't think that Jackson Dart is going to be that guy this time. He's been in this game now. He was in it as a sophomore against Alabama. He was in it last year at Georgia and got embarrassed. The whole reason they all came back was for this game right here. And let's be honest, had we gone to LSU, or let's say we beat LSU on the road and we had a Kentucky loss, I don't think we could take this Georgia loss and still make the playoff with how many two-loss teams there are. So I think it was going to be a must-win anyway. That goes for had we beat Kentucky and gone to LSU and lost. So unless we were undefeated going into it, I think this was going to be a must win, or we weren't going to make the playoff. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of where we were to be anyway, except for maybe home field, in the first game or whatever. But who cares, mm-hmm. right? Like, I want it. But, I mean, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You'd rather make the playoff than not. But I think the line stinks. I think it stinks from a casual better standpoint, and that should bring us hope, frankly, because like Austin said last week, the South Carolina line stunk. Or wait, was it South Carolina that you said stunk? I can't remember which one you
and yes.
Yeah.
I think we were all in South Carolina last week. Yeah.
We were. And so that's why I'm going to be on Ole Miss this week. Take my fandom out of it. The line stinks. The numbers don't. I'm pure numbers guy. I'm also a schedule guy. Ole Miss has had some, you know, they had a last week at halftime was a bye week at that point.
Yeah.
That's a great – that's something we hadn't even touched on yet somehow and all the talking we've done. Georgia has Tennessee on deck. Like,
on deck.
That's a much bigger game for them than this is. Much bigger.
Yeah. And so – and you can't tell me they have some analysts that aren't already preparing for Tennessee, because the reality here is they could afford to – if Georgia comes to Oxford and wins and then goes home and gets beat by Tennessee, is Georgia out of the – playoff? You see what I'm saying? Like, there's so many possibilities that maybe they view that game as more important than ours. I'm sure they do from a rivalry, even though it's not a true rivalry. Mm-hmm. I mean, they both being former SEC East members. I think it's, like I said, I'm going to stick with it. I don't think that it's like a blowout, but I could see Ole Miss winning by two scores. I'm going to go 33-19, and that's not because I just think that things are finally falling together for Ole Miss, and all the bad bounces and bad luck and not finishing drives against Kentucky and LSU, like sports are games of averages, and like everything tends to even itself out as you continue dominating your opponents. And that's why in the second half of Oklahoma, they barely got a first down. And we sacked them like seven times in the fourth quarter. In the entire game against Arkansas, that's why we saw that. Because in those other games, we should have also seen that, right? Or not maybe to the extent that we did. It's just the law of averages is catching up to us. And mm-hmm. So I like two scores. I've talked too long. 33-19. If we win 33-19 and Nick Carr is not on the goalpost after the game.
Wait, so what, Nick, what was your final?
Well, I mean, you know, if we had the graphic up and everyone was who they were picking, I'd be the guy that's like, I'm going to have to go with Georgia and make sure that we don't get this shown back to us later. But I think we're going to struggle to score. I think we are going to have the big game jitters because I think that's who we are. And maybe that's a little Ole Miss. I do agree with what you said, Ben, about they came out, they lost Alabama, they looked really bad doing it in the first 2.5 quarters, and then to Texas and were underdogs by more than a couple points. And it's like maybe that was just kind of who Georgia was, and then their defense played really well. And outside of that, they didn't really do much. The offense wasn't great. The offense wasn't great against Florida last week. It hasn't been great. It's hard for me to see big game Georgia. And all big game Georgia's got to do is come out and cause, you know, a couple turnovers, get a big punt return, something like that, either or, not both. I'm going to go with Georgia 21-16. I think we have the ball late in the game like we did against Bama 2 years ago, and I don't think we can score. 21-16, that's three field goals.
You know what's crazy is Georgia went to Texas and won 30-15, and Carson Beck threw three picks. Mm-hmm.
Texas frauds.
That's crazy.
I don't think Texas is great, man. I don't.
I know. Look, I agree with y'all, and this is the most homer pick I've ever had on this show, saying that we're going to win this game by double-digit points against Georgia. Agreed. I mean, it is. It's the most homer pick I've had. I just don't think that it's a – I think this is – I'm telling you, I think the line's telling the story, and the only reason it's 2.5 is because it keeps – they just keep getting money on Georgia, and they're just not going to move it. Like, it's
mm-hmm. – yeah. All right. Let's get into some locks.
If it steams out to, like, 6 on Saturday, I'm going to be so pissed off. That'll be – somebody knows something.
So, Austin locked in the Georgia team total under. All right. I'm going to go ahead and jump on the board, Nick. I'm going to go ahead and grab Iowa minus six. And they are at UCLA. I just think Iowa's good enough to score enough. Weird to say. And I just don't think UCLA really cares. It's not like it's a home field advantage at all. I think the Hawkeyes are going to relish the good weather and put it on the Bruins.
So that was on my list, but rather than Roger Jock for the six, just give me the over 44.5. People still have not called up to this. Iowa scores now. This is not, they're putting up like 40 a game themselves.
Who'd they play last week? They blew the doors off of them.
Yeah. Was it Wisconsin or?
Yeah. I think it was Wisconsin. Yeah. They killed them.
They literally get into the 40s themselves now, and their lines keep coming out at like 40.5. I don't think UCLA has to put up, what, 13, 14? This goes over.
Yeah. Nick, I'm going to go ahead and rattle off all my locks since we went pretty heavy on Ole Miss, Georgia. Speed things up here. I'm going to go Texas Tech money line.
Ooh, okay.
Last I looked, it was plus 145. Kind of seems like a letdown spot, but Texas Tech is at home. They're gonna have the tortillas out. They're gonna be loud. They're gonna be rowdy. I think at some point Shador and Colorado are gonna fall flat. A lot of people are forgetting that this is a Hail Mary away from being a 5-3 team, and that's just because Baylor just completely fumbled the end of that one. I like Texas Tech at home to get it done. I like Joey McGuire. I think he's kind of getting them headed in the right direction. And then I'm going to also get real quick, Nick, what's the weather looking like in Baton Rouge?
I think it's also rain. I don't think it's as bad as it is here.
Okay.
You talk it out. Are you going under?
I'm going to go over. I think over. It's going to be a lot of points back and forth. Milroe versus Nussmeier. I like the over that. There.
I'm seeing 30% chance of rain. 84 degrees. You imagine?
Jesus.
Of course, they're playing it. I'm sure they're playing at 9 p.m., but still.
I'm also going to go ahead and grab Georgia Tech plus 11.5. I think it's at 11.5.
This is Zach show? Like, what's happening here?
I'm just trying to get this – trying to get these all out.
Wait, what was Bama LSU's over 50, under?
58.5.
58, I think.
Okay, ooh, yeah.
58. I think you get a flat. Oh, well, I see a hook now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Georgia Tech covering. They're 5-1, double-digit dog, and straight up versus ranked teams. I think this is a Miami sleeper again, and Georgia Tech covers. And then I don't even know what the number is, but just give me Indiana to cover.
God, I can't go against them anymore. I can't. I'm done. Right. Like I keep jumping on the train tracks, and I keep getting run over.
Yeah,
I think they're minus 14.5. Let me double check that. And I wanted to.
Yeah, there's a hook now. You.
Okay. I'm going with them. Michigan's awful. It's just not just an Indiana play because I do like Indiana. Yeah.
Michigan, you're talking about people that can't score.
No, they're terrible.
All right, I'm done. Sorry, Ben. Excuse me.
No. and after you fix the whole board. All right, I think the play of the week is Oklahoma minus 3 at Missouri. So I'm going to lock that in as my first.
Without their quarterback?
It has to be.
Either way. Yeah, but that – yeah, I think Oklahoma.
Either way.
Yeah, bro.
No, I think Missouri's not very good. I agree with you there. I'm waiting but to see Brady, what they do like well.
He's obviously.
I don't think they do anything well.
I just think they're going to shut them down. The under is probably the play in that game, too.
Yeah, I loved it at 42.5. 41.5 is a little trickier, key numbers and all, but I like the under. Yeah.
I'm going to take even 3, under 3. For that, obviously, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to lock in Ole Miss plus 3.
Attaboy.
Just
– is it 3 flat?
Yeah, 3 flat. I can get it 115 for 3 flat. And so I think we said that was within the number. I mean, we can go to 2.5, but it gives even odds, plus 100. I mean
– no, you got it. You got it, man.
Plus, all right, then
either Georgia's covering or we're winning, by the way.
Correct.
Yeah, it's basically just
pick a land.
Yeah.
It better not land one.
Army minus four against North Texas.
I like that.
Attaboy. Also, also love the over there.
Quarterback hurt.
Who did you take in Colorado, Texas Tech, Zach?
I took the Red Raiders.
Oh, wow. See, I was going to go opposite you there, but I may not do that. Colorado's sneaking up on the playoff.
I know.
Let's see. Any more? Y'all can go ahead while I'm looking.
All right. I got a couple here. Unless Austin wants to go ahead and go.
No, you got it.
Okay, so a couple here. I'm going to echo Indiana, or excuse me, I'm going to echo Iowa, UCLA over 44.5. Iowa scores points, and UCLA gives up points. So I think one team might break 30 here. So I think that's pretty comfortable. My biggest game, maybe even my lock here, is South Carolina minus 4.5 against Vanderbilt. Javier is three. Yeah, oh man,
the OB, I'm right. I want that too. Good pick.
Yeah, I think the Diego Magic is about up.
They're on fumes.
They started. I think they played eight games. They started the first four games. They averaged nearly 40 points. The last four games, they've averaged 22. Like that, they're every game you watch them, it's a struggle to score points, and that's not a team you want to really need to score points against. The South Carolina, their defense playing well. And they're kind of rolling at this point. I saw something this week that said they're not technically out of the playoff picture because I think they would have tiebreakers. I don't know. Regardless, they're rolling downhill at this point. So I got second line minus 4.5.
I was gonna say don't look now, but probably playing as good as anyone in the country. Dylan Stewart's about to get a 7-figure NIL deal. Rocket Sanders is healthy. Lenore Sellers looks good. I mean, that's probably the second best D line in the SEC behind Ole Miss. I love that pick. I think they might go into Simmons Bank and just beat the brakes off of Vandy.
Yeah, two things. Vandy got bowl eligible last week, which for Vandy is huge.
Yeah.
Right. That's a big deal. And Diego Pavia crossed Hugh Freeze off his hit list for the third straight year in a row. There's gonna be a letdown. Was a big game for that team, for that program. They don't come back home to it's going to be sleepy. It's going to be typical Vandy home environment.
It's 11.
I think
Diego put the lipstick on.
Exactly. Crossed Billy Madison style. Yep.
Big letdown spot.
At 3.5, I loved South Carolina. I fired on it in real life. 4.5 is getting a little rich for me. But it wouldn't surprise me if South Carolina won 35-3. I think they're going to destroy Vandy.
Yeah, I was going to say, much like Ole Miss, South Carolina, and much like last week with Ole Miss, Arkansas, it's an afternoon kick. It's not a night game. And I know it's Vandy and, nerds, whatever, private school. That place would still be popping if it was at night. It's an afternoon kick. It's not sleepy, but, it's not going to be rowdy. And there's going to be a lot of South Carolina people there. I live in Nashville. Humongous core group of Gamecock alum live in Nashville.
And also, somebody said, I think it was you, Zach, Diego's banged up, man. Vandy's QB is dragging his leg. They have no speed. And no speed at the skill positions, though. Last week, really, as funny as it was, as hilarious as it was last week, it was less about how good Vandy looked and how shitty Auburn was. Auburn was so bad. Yeah. Hugh Freeze calling timeouts with 1 second left before the 2-minute timeout is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Auburn is trash.
He called it before the 2-minute warning.
On a change of possession. They were punting the ball.
Some health issue or something, or some GA. All right. I've got
he's running out of people to blame.
All right. Here's a schedule play. We talked about Georgia, Tennessee next week. I think Tennessee may know what's coming there, and they're going to go for style points here against Mississippi State. And
they need them with the 8 points.
With them,
dude.
They've had some trouble on offense, but this is a historically bad SEC defense.
Is it 23.5 or 24.5?
Oh, tread gosh, it may be
here, Ben. Tread lightly.
I can get 24 at 109.
I would do 24.
I tried to will Tennessee putting up points last week and didn't do it. My only pause here is okay, quick Quick trivia. How many points has Tennessee scored in the first half in the last four games?
Like seven?
Three.
Seven. Three. Yeah.
They scored seven against
Kentucky. Stay secure for the common offense, though.
I know.
They really are. God.
But here's my thing.
Abysmal.
In terms of covering, I think State's going to score.
They score late. How many points did UMass score in the first two drives last week against
them? I know.
They were like 10-0, weren't they?
10-0. It was 10-0 with 7 minutes to go in the first quarter.
This game could be 50.
UMass Amherst.
This is going to be.
I'm telling you, we're getting into style point season where people are going to be, you're trying to blow your opponent out to make the playoff over another team with a similar record.
Tennessee
has every reason to score 60.
Could also be jump out 28-6 and put it in cruise control, and then Levy gets some garbage touchdowns.
Good.
State's the king of garbage time. Yeah, so, yeah, you're, like right, you're right. You're right.
That's my only – I almost played this in.
I don't think that they get out to 28, though. I think they jump out to 48.
They could.
But Nico has been putrid this season.
You're both right, because he has been terrible. But this MSU defense, they just literally can't tackle. It's like me out there tackling.
They can't tackle. I said that like 3 weeks ago on here. Go watch their games. It's unbelievable. They cannot tackle.
Every play.
I mean, it might be as bad as the 2008 Mississippi State defense.
It's not like there's one guy or like he makes 47 tackles a game because nobody else can. They don't have anybody who can tackle. All 11
Marcus Gates
tackle.
Guy.
I guarantee you that there was at least an NFL player on the 2008 Ole Miss defense or 2008 Mississippi State, whoever you said. There's not an NFL player on the Mississippi State defense.
Pegues on that team? Was Derek Pegues on that team?
No,
I left him there. Seven.
Okay. Seven.
Yeah, you're probably right. But, yeah, I mean, now watch. Tennessee will go out and beat the shit out of them 58-10 or something. But I thought last week against Kentucky, which Kentucky is just on – you talk about on fumes. I thought for sure Tennessee at home, because this is it's a look-ahead spot. So maybe style points, Heupel's going to try to impress the committee, but they could also just be looking behind their shoulder a little bit for Georgia.
I'm just going to say this. I'm not trying to talk you off a bet either way. I do think it's worth noting that the two offenses are virtually the same. Like, Lebby and Heupel run the same veer and shoot. If State had any players with a pulse on defense that might make a difference, they just don't have the dude. So, it probably won't matter at all. But they're the same offense.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'll give you I'll look up the State 08 roster. They had KJ Wright.
Yeah.
He may still be in the NFL. This says they had Derek Pegues. I thought he was gone in 07, but maybe he was there in 08. And they had KJ Wright and they had Jamar Chaney. I mean, those three players alone would improve State by two wins this year.
State didn't have anybody.
They would have beat. I mean, this team got blown out by Toledo. Like, I know it's a crazy thing to lay a big number like that, but I just think at this point in the season, Tennessee has every reason to do it. We just went to Arkansas and now that was by default. We didn't like run it up on them. But at this point with style point season, we got to, like, when we go to Florida, if we beat Georgia, when we go to Florida, we need to run it up on Florida to get, you know, for seeding purposes.
That'd be excellent. Florida, who is retaining Billy Napier.
Yeah. It's surprising to me that they announced it this early. You can always renege on that, though.
Yeah, that's canon, but
I don't know if it was the dreaded vote of confidence, but it was like, we're keeping him for sure.
Yeah.
This feels more forceful than the typical vote of confidence. Like,
it did.
If you keep reading the letter, he's like, we're playing better. It looks like we're going to be better next year.
I agree with you. I just, until there's like, we've announced a contract extension, it's still, still renege on it.
Scott Strickland, blink twice if you're safe.
Right.
Look, they're not getting rid of him because of their recruits and their freshmen. That's why.
Well, Scott Strickland may know the score here. He ain't going to get to hire the third coach. So he may be like, hold on, everybody. Let's take our time. Let's take a step back.
One more year. All right, I'm going to go with UNLV. They're minus 12 and a half. They're at Hawaii. I think Hawaii is getting a little bit of extra bonus from beating Fresno State last week. I don't think they're very good. Sure. And UNLV is really good. UNLV has two losses. A Boise State team that they were at home. It was a very good game. And they lost to Syracuse. I'm not ever going to penalize a G5 team for losing to a power four team. I'm just not going to do it. They went out and whipped Utah State. They beat Kansas earlier in the year. They whipped that Fresno team that Hawaii just beat by a point. Hawaii, it is on the island, but still, UNLV is way too good here. I think they're like a top 25 team. Hawaii's not that. So 14 and a 12 and a half. So just got to get two touchdowns.
Y'all make note of this. UNLV knocks Boise out of the playoff in the Mountain West Championship.
Yeah, I can see that. They may just try to be better than Boise.
Might should have beat them last week. I have another game out west. I'm just going to lay it out there real quick. Oregon State is playing. God, are they playing San Jose State? Mm-hmm. I mean, San Jose State, I just am not exactly sure as to why they're only catching 3 points against. I mean, it just should be a larger line. I'm pulling up their schedule here. Oregon State lost to Fresno. It is bad. No, there's no doubt. But this San Jose State team got whipped by Fresno State. Wasn't really all that close with Colorado State. And if you go look at their wins, they've beaten Sacramento State.
I mean, our Colorado State Rams?
They lost to Air Force, who is awful. They beat Kennesaw State, who is one of the worst teams in college football. They beat Nevada, who's not very good. And then they beat Wyoming. I don't see why the San Jose State team is like only getting 3 points in that game. It should be like 10 or 12. I mean, not 10 or 12, but like, it should be like 7. Oregon State they don't have a traditional secondary of a team that Power Five, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, I got one.
Nick Nash might eat.
I want NC State minus 3. Duke has lost 2 in a row now, and I think Miami broke them in the second half last week. NC State, on the other hand, has won 2 in a row and gets Duke at home. I think the magic has run out on Duke, and I'm going to go with the Wolfpack. I just have to lay a field goal. I think the Wolfpack cover that easily. One more, and this is just because I want them to do it. Give me Georgia Tech plus let's see, I can get plus 11 and a half is 115, but so 11 is 110, plus 11. Miami, they blew Duke out, just what I just said. Cam Ward is right now the second favorite for the Heisman. Georgia Tech gets after it a little bit. And I don't like – or I just – the line seems a little bit low for this, and I'm going on the stinky line train here. So let me get 11 with Georgia Tech at home and see if they can keep this thing close.
I got another money line, Nick.
All right.
This line stinks like hell, and it's close enough to where I'm just going to take the money line because you're basically just picking who you think wins. Don't know why. Just this is a principal pick here. I think Utah beats BYU and ends that.
I know that would be a classic BYU game. What's the number?
Like 2.5. It's pretty low.
Spread is low.
Four. It's four now.
It's four.
Or three.
Yeah. Where? I got three and a half.
135.
2.5. I got 2.5. FanDuel.
No, but you're taking
money line, aren't you?
You're taking money lines. Utah 135.
Oh, you're asking for money line. Big one.
So I'm looking at a three now. Yeah. I see 135. What do you got?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 135.
I know it's no Cam Rising, but dude, it's a night game at Rice Eccles. That's a tough place to play. It's the Holy War.
Perfect Utah game.
Jumping.
Put me down for that too. That's on my list. It might be Whittingham's last Holy War.
Yeah. And I think BYU they've been flirting with disaster all year. And I don't know. Call me crazy. Maybe Isaac Wilson just goes off and whatever. I don't know. I think Whittingham's a good enough coach to get him up one last time.
I do too.
All right. I'm going to give you guys a good one. Money line I think y'all are going to enjoy. And I don't really know a ton about this team. I don't think they're all that good. I just think the number's kind of big. Virginia Tech plus one.
I was going to say Virginia Tech. I'm riding with him. That was literally the game I was picking.
You think Louisville beats Clemson twice?
It could. And I mean, the game is.
I don't think Virginia Tech's bad. Have you seen that Virginia what Tech. If graph? If you took if you flipped the one score games, Virginia Tech would be undefeated and they're 5-4.
It's at Virginia Tech and Clemson. I mean, Clemson's season sort of ended last week. I mean, they could run the table and go to the playoffs, still beat Miami in the ACC title game, but their backs are really against the wall. This number is nearly 200. So,
Nick, what's Virginia Tech's record right now?
Ben, you said they're 5-4.
Yeah, they're 5-4.
5-4. Fuck. All
right. But they're in 4-1 score game. Like I said, they'd be 9-0.
Well, I had them over the win total 8.5. I thought everybody was big on Virginia Tech preseason.
Well, we didn't realize that Vanderbilt was going to be good, right?
And also, to Vandy by 7, Rutgers by 3, Miami by 4, and then Syracuse by 3 and 7 in overtime.
Got screwed in the Vandy game. All right.
I think you need Drones and their running back to be healthy, Nick, because Colin Schley is not that guy.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know a ton about Virginia Tech. Drones needs to be. I agree with that.
Yeah, he didn't. You know, he didn't play last week. He didn't play last week against Syracuse.
Is he playing this week?
Y'all go.
We got anything else?
Austin has like 2 picks this week.
Yeah, Austin, you gotta have some pick. Right, let me finish up just to wrap it up. Virginia's getting 7.5 against Pitt. Pitt's not very good. So I'm taking Virginia 7.5. They're off of a bye, and just teams that are kind of big underdogs off of a bye. Take them.
Also, Pitt has been fraudulent throughout the season. Like they had to storm back against Cincinnati, basically won on like a last second play. They got clapped last week. Yeah. I love Virginia there, plus 7.5. I want to lock that in as well. Zach, I'm riding with you on the Iowa over. Also, give me Wake Forest at home, plus 7. Yes. Who the hell is Cal? Flying cross country to lay a touchdown.
What's the number?
Get the fuck out of here. 7.
7.
I thought it was 3.
No. 7.
Maybe did it open at 3?
I don't know, but that's outrageous.
I'm gonna hop on Wake money line there.
You're right, it's 7. Why is Cal getting that going across country?
I want to go to Arrowhead Stadium where Iowa State's playing Kansas. And give me the Jayhawks plus 3. I think Iowa State got exposed last week. They should have lost. That should have been 2 losses in a row because UCF, rather, had them on the ropes prior. They lose last week. Kansas has deserved better than their record this year. They're shit in close possession, one possession, close games this year. I just give me the Jayhawks. I just trust that coaching staff and Iowa State going on the road. Look, Iowa State may actually have more fans than Kansas in the stadium, but still. Give me the Jayhawks plus 3. Who else? Let's go. Oh, the Jacksonville State Gamecocks are on the road at La Tech. La Tech is atrocious. Rich Rod runs it up. They're laying 10. I think that is way too light. I think this is like 42-20 Jacksonville State.
And who did they spank last week?
I don't know. They got Liberty the week before, right?
And then how bad do you have to be 10-point underdogs at home to Jacksonville State? Yeah. Like a team in their second year in Division I?
Yeah. Yeah. Sonny Cumbie's a dead man walking, I think, at La Tech. And Rich Rod, man, that dude, they run it up,
and
man.
Sonny Cumbie was the man 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah. Rich Rod's offense is a lot like the triple option. Like once he gets rolling and they're up like 20 on you, like it just doesn't stop. They will beat you by 40. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. Let me go under. I want to go under in Mississippi State and Tennessee, under 62. I think Tennessee's defense is really good. State will try to score to the whistle, but I'm kind of like Ben here. I think this is one where Tennessee races out and just sort of throws it in neutral. I could see this like 45-10. Like, I don't think State hangs with this defense. Who else?
Do we know, is DJ Lagway playing?
I don't know. I wouldn't play in this weekend, but, you know, nobody asked me. I just think it's stupid. Like, you're big dogs on the road for a reason. Save him for
– after a big game last week, too. You can't go to Texas and win this one.
Yeah.
While you're looking, Austin, I'll just say I'm taking LSU plus 125. Just because I don't think it's going to be like a 2-point game. I think LSU, if they're going to play with them, they'll win outright or they'll lose by like 7. So yep. LSU plus 125.
All right. I think I got a couple totals and then I'll do money lines. I'm scrolling through my list right now. Let's see. Oh, give me West Virginia plus 5. This is a weird line. Cincinnati's not good. West Virginia made a change at quarterback. Yeah. They've actually had a pulse lately. Cincinnati doesn't play in games where they win by margin. You know, they win by like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. To me, feels like we're getting a little too many. I think West Virginia might actually be better than Cincinnati, but give me the 5 for insurance. Cincinnati. Let's see. Oh, over Colorado, Texas Tech. Can you give me 62.5?
Let me see here, 62.5. Let's see what we can get. Colorado game, Colorado matchup. Sorry, this is great pod. So 62.5. Yeah,
let's go over. Both of these teams get in the 30s. Let's just spray the board. One more.
Find you someone who looks at you like Austin looks at the board this week.
Dude, I love the board. This means I'm getting slaughtered. This is the most
we've had all year.
Last one for me, Wazoo laying 20 in the hook against Utah State. Utah State is so bad. And Washington State scores. They will get into the 50s here.
I'm also going to add UConn minus 7. They are playing UAB, and UAB sucks shit.
UAB is bad. They had a bounce back game last week, didn't they? But they're still bad.
Yeah, they suck.
All right. And just one more money line for me because I'm riding with Zach on Utah money line. And give me, we need a banger like Houston last week. Give me, I can't do that one.
Maryland money line.
Where are they? Oregon?
Dude, they're 26 point underdog.
I almost took Maryland plus the 26.
Bro, Rebs money line.
Yeah, it's not big enough, though.
It's not big enough.
You one, Austin.
What you got?
Wow, shit, it's not. Never mind.
Southern Miss money line against Marshall. That's a rivalry.
I was gonna say Washington money line, but they're at Penn State.
I thought about it because look, you talk about the flattest spot on earth. Penn State just got their. Yeah.
But they went out in the playoff. I mean,
yeah, but still, like, how do you bounce back after that? Like the realization that you're never going to beat Ohio State. Give me, and this is riveting pod. Give me UL Monroe at home plus 260 against Texas State. Monroe has been able to drag people in the mud all season, man, all season. And Texas State, I don't know if their quarterback is back this week. He got banged up a couple weeks ago. I don't know. I just think it's going to be a low scoring, slow paced game. Monroe can eke one out plus 260.
Yeah.
Who's coaching at Monroe now?
It's the guy from UAB that UAB didn't hire. Instead, they hired Trent Dilfer. I can't even remember the guy's name.
That's right.
But he's good.
Yeah.
All right. That will do it for this week's Hit That Line. Again, apologies for being a day tardy, but we are here. We got winners. Just in case you're wondering, last week, bit of a down week for the crew, 12-13 overall, but we are still 148-100 on the season, up 12.89 units. So still making you some money. Dude, we absolutely sprayed the board this week. So we've got a lot to choose from. If you're in Oxford, again, go check out College Corner, get you some stuff for the weekend. And also be sure to use our promo codes if you're also looking for merch. Look, Halloween's over, so it's time to get ready for Christmas, right? So homefieldapparel.com, use promo code LASTDANCE24, you get 15% off. And Roback.com, use promo code JUICE for 20% off. That will do it for the Week 11 edition. We will have tons of content coming to you. I'm here in Oxford. I'll be on the ground. Tons of recruits in town. We will have a before and after coverage of Ole Miss, Georgia, 2:30 Central Time on Saturday. Appreciate Ben. Appreciate Nick. Appreciate Austin. Appreciate you, the listener and the viewer. If you're on YouTube, we look forward to doing this pod every week. And I think that, you guys look forward to it as well. So we appreciate all the support, and this is a fun one to do every week. So that will do it. Appreciate everybody. Week 11 come and gone before we know it, but Ole Miss, Georgia, 2:30 on Saturday. For those fellas over there, I'm Zach. This has been Hit That Line. Until next time, we out of here.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.